A long story short is, the bank said, we cannot lend you the money.
Because of the land.
Because of this land problem.
Yeah.
That was it.
Wait, so they
it
had
was,
already committed. That
they
we're
committed, learning. But now they found a snag in the covenants.
In our lot.
And they said, in you the can't lot. Build the building. We're not going to loan you the money. That was it. Sorry. We talked to attorneys. The attorney said, there's pretty much nothing you can do. And everybody went home. Turn off the lights. It's over.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Business Stories with Benjamin Saylor. Today, we're here to meet with my aunt and uncle, Jeff and Jenny Compass. They're going to be talking to us about how they started a climbing gym down in St. George and the struggles that they had to go through to do that. They had to raise, over almost $1 million of your guys' own money coming in to be able to start this. So we're excited to hear this story, and we'll go ahead and tune into it.
We worked for 35 years to save up enough money to...
Because most people think of like these businesses that, you start overnight.
Yeah.
Whereas your guys's, it was a 35-year success.
Well, and people your age too are like, I'm sure there's a lot of people that look and be like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm 10 years away from retirement. Why would I start this thing, right?
Yeah. Well, the supposition I think that he and I had, is just that we come from wealth in some way, shape, or form. And it is not that we come from wealth. It comes from the fact that we've worked our butts off for 30 years and we have saved our money.
We didn't eat exclusively mac and cheese.
Right.
But we didn't we didn't go on fancy vacations, and our cars were always used cars. I mean, only recently we own a car that was actually manufactured in the decade in which we bought it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So. Yeah.
But I mean, it just really, the way that you accumulate money is just being smart with your money over time. And so it was just basically transferring money from a business that we started on,
prior to us being married.
Prior to us being married, it was the fourplex in Orem.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had that fourplex. We bought two other fourplexes at one point. And then it's just exchanging and working. And
is this your first, that you would call, business you started? Or did you guys have other things?
I helped start. Our apartment business, of course, we started.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I also helped start a healthcare software company.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And I think really the reason why we started the business, why we sacrificed everything that we did, was that this is something that we're passionate about and something that we believe in. How many years ago has it been now? 15. So 15 years ago, we were going to go on a trip for our anniversary, and we decided to go rock climbing instead of going on a cruise or something else. And it was just simply because I don't vacation well. I'm not a luxury cruise liner kind of girl. I'm more of a camping, hiking. I need to be accomplishing something. And so I was just like, let's go climbing.
Well, I had said, we'd saved up some money.
Yeah.
And I said, let's go to the Bahamas for our anniversary. And she was like, no, I don't want to go sit on a beach or do
really?
Something
like that.
Really?
Oh my gosh. That's like opposite of me. That's like my dream.
And I said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, let's go to Southern Utah and learn how to rock climb. And I said,
he gave me this look like, what? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Really,
and you guys lived in, where did you live this time? Huntsville?
Yeah,
we
lived in Huntsville.
That's really the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
Because little did she know at that point that all vacations subsequent to that were going to involve rock climbing in some way or another. Yeah.
So that was the first time you guys actually were like, let's go rock climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before that, you had just, done indoor?
Oh, we'd never really done anything.
Really?
So. I mean, maybe for a birthday party, indoor some rock wall or something. But yeah, that was really the first of it. And I had started doing yoga around the same time. And I have 5 children. And being a mom is hard.
Yeah,
being a mom is hard and that
there's not a lot of time.
You don't get to talk to adults much. And I felt, I probably was clinically depressed, but I didn't necessarily know that I was at that point. And so just with doing yoga and then I started rock climbing, I started feeling emotionally and mentally 10 times better. And I look back after I started doing those things and went, wait a second, this has helped improve my life. I feel mentally, emotionally, physically, everything felt so much better for me at that point that it became a part of who I was. And Jeff climbed all the time. I climbed all the time. It was something that became this forced kind of family hobby that we did together. We wanted to move to Southern Utah because you could rock climb there all year round. And
outdoor rock climbing.
Yeah that was our motivation there. To move there. And then we didn't think we'd miss the climbing gym, but it ended up being something we really missed. And that we realized that that is a community builder, you know, that you go to the climbing gym when the time changes and we all have 8-to-5 jobs or you have kids and it's dark outside, you can't climb, or it's too hot outside or it's too cold outside. And so even in Southern Utah, we found we really could use a climbing gym, and we just kept waiting for somebody to do it. And finally, it was just kind of like,
okay, we should do it.
Yeah, let's do it. That it just, we realized that the community could benefit from having a rock climbing gym. And for me and for Jeff, it is a work of passion, you know, and we could have made a lot more money really building a car wash.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, just whatever. But it is something that changed my life for the better. And so to me, it was more of, I want to bring this to the community.
Yeah, to other people.
Yes.
So when you were, I mean, Benj and I talk a lot about this, how specifically with being a mom, that is not, I guess, your entire identity, right? Like mm-hmm. you need to have stuff that makes you feel good and makes you feel accomplished outside of just taking care of your kids. Because I feel like a lot of times it's really hard to take care of 5 kids, like what you said, but then have time for yourself. But that is so important. I think a lot of people miss out on, and then it causes these mental feelings. And then all of a sudden, right, like you start doing these things and you're like, oh my goodness, why didn't I like do these things earlier? I feel like a lot of people are starting to wake up and kind of realize that.
Well, I mean, if you look at our society as a whole, there's an epidemic of people who are depressed and who have anxiety. And I think part of that is just because we have these phones that we are not connecting as a community anymore, you know, as well as we were in the past. And so when you're rock climbing, you can't have a phone in your hands. When you're doing your yoga, you cannot have a phone in your hands. And so it's an opportunity to build community and to help improve people's lives. And so to me, it's just like, we could have made more money doing something else, but at the same time, what is money for if not to better our lives and those who that you come in contact with? And so really, you know, when we built this gym, we thought of it as a community center, a place for people to gather and to heal and to just become healthier, whether it's mentally, emotionally healthy, you know, all of that is really combined.
It's tied together. Yeah.
It's tied
together. So it's Contact Gym. That's mm-hmm. what you started.
Yeah.
Contact.
Yeah. Contact Climbing Gym.
And down in St. George, Utah.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Okay. So how did you come up with the name Contact? It's just like, did you have some specific reason?
Well, we liked, the vision of trying to be community minded. If you sort of take that to its extreme, you want to help as many people as you possibly can. And so our first thoughts were around, you know, some kind of St. Georgie name, Red Cliffs or Red Sand.
Red Rocks. Right,
yeah, all the things. But everything's named
half
that.
Half the business is in St. George or Red Rock or something. So really? We're just like, no. Okay. And so we had an entire list of names. And I think that was one of the hardest decisions that we made when we were creating this business is just what do we name it?
Because once you name it, it's going to go up there. Like that sign is up there and it's there
forever.
And that
becomes the beginning of the brand.
Yeah. So we liked
names that were sort of single names, names that we could do something fun with a logo. And so we tried 4 or 5 different names. Like we had things like Endeavor or The Edge or Geometry or other kinds of things like that. And Contact was the one that stuck, and we just kind of really liked that.
Yeah, like come and make contact, come and be with people face to face, just like what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so ultimately, I think we felt like that one connected with our vision, the best, you know, when you come up, because it's hard to come up with a name. There are climbing gyms all over the country that is going to be unique to you and that doesn't steal from, or, you know, that hasn't already been taken. But ultimately, I think it was, yes, you can make contact with people and, you know, you're contacting rock. You're, you know, just whatever it is, it's contact.
Yeah, you're contacting the ground when you fall.
Yeah, exactly. Bam.
Let's hope there's none of that at your gym.
Oh, well, there's
bouldering, right?
Yeah, there's bouldering. Yeah. Every fall is a ground fall in bouldering. We say that in our tour every time, just so you know, every fall is a ground fall. So that's
funny. Well, I think the coolest part about what you guys did with contact was that your why, the why of why you did it, it was for growth, right? It was for like, I want to feel fulfilled. I love doing this and I want to bring everyone in to do it with me, which I think is the coolest part. You know, you talked how it took you 35 years of hard work, just working, putting your head down and just going. I mean, Jeff's working three jobs right now. You know, it's you guys are still grinding to just do what you love.
Yeah.
And that's the best part about what you've created.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so remarkable to hear what you guys are talking about.
Well, and the funnest part too was the creation process. And this is what we talk about. Jeff and I actually make a really good team when it comes to business development, because like I love creating. That's my thing. You know, when it came to the building, I probably went through, I don't know how many different iterations of the building. And Jeff, when he traveled, I'd make him walk around to other climbing gyms and measure things out and just kind of tell me how the space is. And so for me, you know, when you're creating a community center, what does that look like? You know, and so it's not just having climbing walls, it's having couches in place where people can meet up with. And it's about, you know, how warm the building feels when they walk into it. So we have nice, beautiful wood walls. And so it just feels when you come home, our vision was just, let's create something that feels warm, like you're walking into home, that there's spaces you can sit and work. And upstairs, we've got this mezzanine that looks over this beautiful, you know, climbing wall thing where they can sit there and work on their computers. We have Wi-Fi, you know, and a lot of van lifers come in and work there, you know. And so it's just, again, the vision, it's fun to see that vision come to fruition, you know, as people come into the space and hang out in there.
Yeah.
And it's not just climbing. It's not just lifting weights. It's not just doing yoga. You know, it's connecting, you know, in whatever way you would like to in the space.
So, I mean, you're leaving us. I mean, probably your audience really wants to know, how did you guys, I mean, you had this idea, right? I think there's a lot of people that have ideas, but like they don't have the tools or the experience or the knowledge to actually bring that idea to the market. Right. So how did you guys have this idea and take it and just accomplish it? I mean, it's here now. Like, how did that happen? Tell us a little bit about that. Yeah.
Well, and I'm the creative person. I'm the one that says, hey, let's do this. And Jeff is the one, and that's why I say we're a good team. I'm kind of this is the vision. This is what
the
I think
ideas.
We should do. This is the ideas. And he's the one who is on the ground and making it happen. So I'll let him speak to that.
So it's a really good question. And people ask us often, oh, I was going to build a climbing gym. And so I'll tell you what the difference between people who do something and people who don't is one of them did something.
Yeah.
And it isn't that there aren't particular tools or
there's not special about.
There's not a surprise thing. People don't like entrepreneurship because it looks like work,
which it is, right?
It's hard, right? It's it's dressed in suspenders and you know, you have work boots on, you know, and you have mud on your shoes, and so a lot of the things that we did to, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking about it up front. Like Jenny mentioned, I travel a lot for my work, and we would. I would go to the gyms with the intent specifically of reconnaissance, right? Go in there and look and see what things work and what things don't. And so then that was us thinking carefully about what we wanted our product to be. But then there's other things too, like how are you going to finance it? How are we going to pay for all the stuff?
Are you guys going to get the loan? How can you prove that you can get a loan?
How are we going to, you know, where would we put it, right?
Yeah.
What's the location?
Oh, yeah.
And so as you start to think about there's a long list of sort of, I guess, preparatory things that you just kind of have to work through. And you may not know the answers to all those questions, but thinking about what those questions are to start with is a good step in that direction. So when you say about, you know, what's the tool? Well, the first tool is just some get up and go, and then sit down and try to think through it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, as soon as you start to go, immediately people will start to tell you why it's not going to work.
Yeah, like, oh, someone else is going to build it faster or something. You don't know what you're doing.
Or you'll never be able to afford it. Or the fees are going to be the problem. Or you're never going to make enough money. Or why would people want to climb inside when they could climb in all the outside places? Yeah. So people will immediately start to come to you and tell you why it isn't going to work. And so the second tool really is not listening to that. It's persevering in spite of the fact and maintaining your vision. Like hope in the vision. Mm-hmm. And in spite of the fact that there's going to be people that are going to be naysayers. Now, that doesn't mean do stupid things, right? Because there's clearly things that aren't going to work and you should be very careful and intentional.
Well, Jeff was very intentional. So he wrote like a 100-page feasibility study. And that's one thing that I think most people need to know when they start opening a business or consider opening a business is what's the feasibility that this company is actually going to work? And you have to do all sorts of things. I mean, he did studies on the weather in our area, how many people demographically were within the space where our lot was going to be. You know, and so just statistically figuring out how big our gym should be, you know, so all of those things come into play because we have 200,000 people in the St. George area. So statistically, how many of those people would be a part of our gym? Yeah. And so then you have to figure out how many people, how big of a space can we afford to build with the amount of members that we're going to have. So it was a 100-page feasibility study that he did. And then at that point, we took it to probably, was it 7 banks before? I mean, we slideshows and just talking to people with everything that we had developed. And still we'd have just the Southern Utah boys looking at me like, why would anybody ever want to climb? Really? Yeah. And, you know, that's stupid, you know? And so we...
So you didn't get to... You weren't like, okay, like... Did you ever think to yourself during those 7 no's, like, maybe they're right? Or were you guys like, no?
Because we're, so again, remember, we went all around and looked at other places. So we know that the model works. Mm-hmm. And we now have not just a little bit of evidence, you know, to suggest that. There are functioning gyms about, it's not like new product development, right? This is a product that has existed for some time. And we can actually see it in function. The question was, could we bring it here and make it happen here?
Yeah. Right. Right. So we know quite a few people in the industry by this point. And so we talked to one of our friends who he owns the front in Salt Lake City. And he gave us the name of a bank. And that bank has financed financed 7 or 8 other climbing gyms.
So they're very comfortable with the statistics.
Yeah.
When you met with the bank, did you have to provide them that chart?
Oh yeah.
The paper, like you'd show them all your statistics, all your studying.
So this is a really interesting story too. So I did a lot of work to prepare sort of pro forma, like projection kind of things. And I would project for a year out and I would project with certain amounts of numbers and a certain amount of growth. And I projected for 3 years out. I projected for 5 years out. And at the conclusion, so once everything was said and done, we kept track of all of our P&L and I went back and compared that with the projections that we'd actually given to the bank. And our first year's revenue was $1.1 million and my projection was $1.175. So I was off by $75,000.
Oh, dang. Your first year?
My first
1.1.
year. 1.1. Yeah.
Amazing.
And so what's interesting about that is like that was a vindication, right? That was a validation that all of the work that we had done was pretty close, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty close.
Well, I'm sure the bank saw that too. Like, hey, this guy has done a lot of work. Like he's dedicated. He's already doing these things. Like they probably built a lot of trust with that.
The banks were not super stoked about it, but the Small Business Administration SBA. Group for Southern Utah, we got connected with them to sort of help us with business planning stuff. And we won an award actually as one of the best planned businesses of the year of 2021.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Out of climbing gyms?
No, it was out of all the businesses built in Southern Utah and Utah.
Amazing.
In 2021.
Yeah, so. Do you guys have like a trophy or anything?
Yeah, we did. They have a great big trophy big picture, and there was an article and a write up and
Wow, that's
and
cool.
It was the best
business plan and best organization.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And because of that plan, you took the time. How many years would you say you took to build the plan?
Yeah, from idea.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was probably 3 years.
And that
was just
building the plan.
Yeah. No, that was 3 years from start of us planning to actually opening the business.
Wow.
So from that amount of, so it was him creating the, and us going to banks, and this was all happening also in the middle of COVID.
So
we opened in the middle of COVID, 2021.
It was after COVID had really died down a little bit.
And was coming down, but everybody still had to wear masks. But it did slow like the construction process down. We had some other problems that came along the way. But in hindsight, we look at that and it was a happy accident, because if we had opened when we had wanted to a year earlier, we would have opened and had to close right back down because of COVID.
Yeah, and then that scarcity mindset after that would have been pretty tough to overcome.
Yeah. Like,
is this going to happen again? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So in that first year, and once year one was done out of the three, and you just had plans, right? Mm-hmm. What was your guys' main motivation to just like keep going? We're going to do this. I don't know how much longer we have, but what just kept you going?
So what kept us going was we love climbing and we love people. Mm-hmm. And we had a vision for this place and we knew we could make it happen. And by now the ball was rolling, right? Jenny had drawn really good pictures and we had a really bunch of really good designs that we'd become attached to, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you'd built a house and you haven't built it yet, but you've drawn pictures on it and you've imagined where the garden is and you've imagined where, you know, where your kids' bedrooms are, and you're thinking about what the front entryway is going to look like. All that stuff, we'd done all that. And so we were really excited about it. And so we'd also begun to attend industry conferences. So we went to there's a Climbing Wall Association industry conference. And so we went to one of those and we saw other gym owners talking about their gyms. And we saw that this is a burgeoning business, right? It's a burgeoning industry, we're at the ground level, right? There's 400 or 500 gyms at this time in the country. Now there's 1,000. So,
wow.
And so, you know, by the time that we were kind of getting into it, you know, it was just kind of growing, and that was really engaging and exciting to us. The other thing was Jenny drew a picture of a yoga studio attached to the side of this thing, and she wanted to have it be a place where she could teach yoga. And that was also really, really engaging and exciting for us. And so those things were the things that kind of kept us going.
So it was a dream.
Yeah.
It was a dream.
I mean, now you can start to see it. You can start to imagine how it's going to be. And
it's drawn.
You don't want to let it go.
And I'm kind of nerdy, so I liked to, I do silly things. And I actually took a 3D modeling, you know, piece of software and drew out what the walls would look like and made a little fly through so you could kind of imagine
what the walls would
look like inside the thing. And so that was, you know, by now we were attached.
Yeah.
And
this is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to your bank, right? You finally got it approved. What were the next steps?
Yeah. So you said the next question that you asked Sailor was, what were the problems that you encountered? And so there's way too many for us to
list. To go delve into.
Yeah. I mean, the list is long. And part of the thing that if you're going to become an entrepreneur is you just have to have resilience, you know, because like whether it's people telling you this is not going to work or, you know, somebody coming and saying your lot is not, you can't build that your gym here. And we had to talk to 8 different attorneys, I think. How many different attorneys did we have to go to get the right approvals through that?
8 is an exaggeration. There were probably 4.
There were probably 4. Felt like 8 at the time. Like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
So, I mean, there were ups and downs. It's like, it's going to work. It's going to work. It's not going to work. It's going to work. It's not going to work. You know, and with the height of our building as well, 62 feet, we had to go and stand in front of the city council and get special approval for our business. And so it was just, the list is long of everything that you have to do, but it's just getting up and doing it, you know, and it's just, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it's not something that you kind of do, you know, you are committed. Otherwise it's really not going to happen, because if we had not been committed, then
there were at least two problems where we ran up against these problems and it looked like the wheels were just going to completely come off.
Yeah.
The first problem was, Jenny mentioned that it took 7 banks for us to finally get a bank. The way that the financing works is, at least the way that we did it, is you work with a local small business group.
SBA.
And they represent the Federal Small Business Administration. And you convince the SBA that you have a good plan and that you're going to make some money. And the SBA says, all right, this is a good project. And then they give you some requirements. Here's the things that you're going to need to be able to do in order to make this plan go. And we figured out how we could rearrange all of our finances and how we could get some partners to participate with us to meet the SBA specific requirements.
Okay.
So as soon as the SBA is on board, then you have to go get a commercial bank to finance the last half of it. The SBA finances 35%. You come up with 15%. And then the commercial bank comes up with finances 50% of it. So usually, because the way that the SBA works is, the commercial banks are only at risk while the building is being built. Because once the business opens, if for whatever reason the business goes under, the SBA funds the bank. They pay off the bank loan. Hmm. And so it's a really great product for commercial banks to be able to do. So as soon as we had passed the hurdle of get the regular bank, I mean, get the SBA, then they were kind of like, everybody was kind of like, oh, well, now you're in. You can go because getting a commercial bank is not going to be a problem.
Because you have the SBA behind you. Yeah. So we thought it was over at that point.
Yeah. So what happened next was we now began to commit resources. We had money that we were starting to pay. We started to sign contracts with people. We bought the land. We started to...
How much did the land cost you?
The land was $600,000.
Which is so goodness. Funny now, because that same piece of land would cost us
$2.5 million for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So we bought the land and we began to contract with the wall builder, the people who are going to build the walls, because we needed that information so that we could take that to the steel building builder so that they could engineer it properly, because you kind of have to build the building around the walls.
Yeah.
And there were 9 engineers on our building. Trying to figure out how to,
So the problem came when we began to pay these people. We had contracts in place with them, and we couldn't meet those obligations because we hadn't yet got the loan.
Because we had some amount of cash that we just put into all. So it's just like we could lose.
So now all the money is
$700,000.
Right. So now all the money is in the thing. We're going. We've spent all the money that we have to start, and we haven't yet got a bank to sign on. Mm-hmm. Oh, and so now the climbing wall guys have penalties built in. If you don't start the
here's thing, some late fees.
Yes, so now it turns out that you know, according to our contract, we were going to owe an additional $180,000 that we did not account for, that we would have had to pay because we didn't yet have the bank loan.
And this is this during COVID that you're building?
So COVID, this was in 2019. Right?
Okay.
This was in fall of 2019. Mm-hmm. So so this is a problem now. This is a very serious problem because we don't have the loan yet. And the wall builder are like, we need to start right now because we've bought all of your materials and we're ready to go. And every day we're not building your building, we're having problems, right? Yeah. Our money is tied up in this stuff. And so anyway, we finally got the bank to sign on. And then we finally got the wall builder to relent on the fees, and they worked with us, which was unusual. Right?
Yeah, Jeff had to drive I had to Salt Lake to talk to our wall builder in particular, and you got them to drop.
I had to. Those fees. There was some pretty serious negotiations, and it could have gone totally sour. The guy could have said, "Nope, you have to pay me right now, and you have to pay me in full," and we would have just had to cough it up, and we would have not been able to build anything because that would have been the end. It would have been over.
Yeah.
So that was problem number one that was intractable, right? And it was good that the wall builder, it was Vertical Solutions out of Salt Lake. And they're the best. They're absolutely the best.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to Vertical Solutions. And And so then the next thing that happened was we got the bank, we're about ready to close on the loan and everything is great. And all of a sudden the bank says, no, wait a second. We just read the covenants and restrictions for the property that you're going to build this property, this thing on. And it says you can't build a gym that's larger than 3,000 square feet.
Really?
Yeah. They said it's against the covenants and restrictions.
But we had gotten signed off from the neighboring things saying that they didn't care and they would allow us to. So we'd already talked to the business. But the attorneys, once the attorneys for the banks get involved, they're like, that document's not good enough. So we had to completely rewrite all of these documents and get like attorneys from Cal Ranch, from the bank, and our attorney. I can't remember, but there was just, they all had to kind of get together and actually sign documents. We had to hunt down the guy that owned the lot next to us.
A long story short is the bank said, we cannot lend you the money.
Because of the land.
Because of this land problem.
Yeah,
that was it.
So they had already committed.
They committed, but now they found a snag in the covenants
in our lot.
And they said, you can't build the building. We're not going to loan you the money. That was it. Sorry. And so then Jenny's notion of perseverance, we talked to attorneys. The attorney said, there's pretty much nothing you can do. They said, you've got to either find the company that created the covenants, which has now been disbanded. Or else you can go to court and spend a year in court trying to overturn this stuff. And everybody went home, turn off the lights, it's over.
So it's looking like this is just going to
it's like it was over.
Like it's going to blow up.
Yeah, it was
so
totally over.
So you guys
over.
Walk out of the building, get in the car, close the doors.
Go home. I just went and started doing some research on my own. I'm not an attorney. I don't know what the heck's going on. And I started looking through stuff. Trying to figure it out. And I try to say, what if we did this? And the attorney's like, well, yeah, we guess we could try that. And so the attorney then contacted all the other attorneys and they got in a room and they started hashing it out. And it turns out that my idea was actually a pretty good idea. And a couple of variations on that theme, they were able to do it.
Wow.
And then
you had to come up with the idea.
To come up with the idea.
Yeah, they weren't going to go work on
it. It was over. Those guys were done. Yeah. I won't belabor the idea, but the fact is it was nothing more than me not giving up that allowed us to do that. I could have gone home and gave up.
Yeah.
So the biggest part about your story of what made you guys to where you were was just not giving up.
That's
just
pretty much
continuing.
That's
pushing.
Pretty much of, it.
Cause everything was just right at you.
Yeah. And then we started building the building and then we had another one of those kinds of things happen one right after another.
Yeah. They do. And you just have to keep solving problems. And so that's the main thing about when you are going to be an entrepreneur, you believe in what it is you're going to do. You just have to wake up every day and solve problems and you cannot give up no matter what anybody else says, because at the end of the day, it's not about them. It's about what you're trying to do. And so you just have to try and figure out how to work around that problem.
Well, no one is going to fight for your idea or your
right.
or what you want to do as much as you yourself.
Right.
You yourself are going to fight.
Yeah,
for.
You're the one who has to wake up in the morning and fight for it. Nobody else is going to do that. And so you have to be willing to get in that ring and just not give up.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is with entrepreneurship, it's just. That it's kind of like having a baby. You know, before you have a baby, you have this very idealistic thing in your head.
Yeah, that like they're going to be so easy.
It's
and
going to
cry,
be
we'll
like.
Be fine. Yeah, we'll be tough.
Yeah.
We don't need to sleep.
Yeah.
And then you, newborn phase, and you're like, if I don't sleep, I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah. And so to me, being an entrepreneur is a lot like having a baby. You have no idea what you're getting into until you actually do it. And then once you're into the entrepreneurial space, it's there 24 hours a day. So if someone's not doing their job, you got to go in there and say, you got to get out, you know?
Yeah.
So it just is, that's been kind of the hardest part, I think, is just idealism behind, you know, we had this great idea, it's going to change people's lives, but then it's also, it does change people's lives. You know, it's a big part of our story. We have a lot of successes. But it also is...
It requires a lot of energy.
It requires a lot of energy. And also, you are the bad guy in some people's story where you're just going to have to say, look, this isn't the vision, you know, and this isn't working.
Yeah, you got to cut them from the team sometimes. Yeah.
So, and that kind of comes back to the Jenny said mentioned earlier, we like to build the treehouse. Mm-hmm. There's two very distinct sets of activities with regard to having a business. The first one is building it, and the second one is operating it.
Yeah.
And operating it to us is not as much fun. There isn't as much like
excitement.
There's not, I mean, it's still engaging. We're interested and we're happy. But building it was the part where we're really stoked about it, right?
Yeah, so and that's the reward part, too, after building it, it's like, we did this.
Yeah.
That's right. Like, yeah. All you haters out there that told us we can't do
this. So I guess the big question is, are you guys going to build another one somewhere else?
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. Really?
Have you guys?
At?
Well, maybe don't.
No, it's okay. And it will be fun to look back on this in years to come and say what actually happened.
Yeah. Right?
So we've looked in Utah County. This is a great place up here that's underserved. We've looked in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is very underserved. There's 4 gyms in Las Vegas, but there's no modern roped climbing facility. The problem with Las Vegas is we would have to do something much bigger than what we did in St. George. And that requires a much, much more additional capital outlay.
Yes.
And also, I mean, it's bigger, right? It's bigger in every way. And so, we'd have to try to figure out how to scale, right? Mm-hmm. Which is something that is also challenging in its own right.
Yeah, it's something new to you guys. Like what you said, you're constantly learning. Like you wake up, there's another problem.
Yeah.
Like we've talked to the bank about building another gym, and the requirement for us to put down as much money is not there anymore because
you've already proven that you can operate it and
Right. Yeah. So that's what they just said. Oh, yeah, no problem. We'll get you guys started in your next one. And it's not a big deal, but it's just the. So that part I don't think is going to be as much of an arm wrestle.
It's just a capital.
Yeah.
The number one key to success to entrepreneurship is just consistency and discipline, right? Disciplining yourself that every morning you got to wake up at the same time and you got to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And when you're doing it for the joy of it, because you love it, that's when your growth is just going to excel.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas there's people who think, you know, you guys are probably doing it for the money. Well, you weren't. Mm-mm. You're doing it because you love it.
Yeah.
It's your passion.
Yeah.
And so for the 35 years of working hard, you were finally able to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
So you used an interesting word when your growth is going to excel. Growth may not be the goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It might be your goal may be to create something which you can share, but then, you know, people think growth is important or good or whatever. But it isn't necessarily the end, right? And growth, it will come. It's natural. And there's very individual stories that happen as a result of our participation in the gym. There are people who've taken Jenny's yoga teacher training classes who then have gone on to teach at other places or teach at our place. And their life is totally different as a result of it. One person completely changed their life as a result of having this experience. There's a young man who we began to interact with using in the Get Outside program, which is a high school based thing that we ended up, you know, volunteering with. And that guy fell in love with climbing and he's a world-class climber now. Like he's gone be climbing high school guy in Spain and, you know, people's lives, individuals' lives completely change as a result of the experience they have participating in this activity. And that's the reward. That's where we're headed, right? It's not necessarily growth. Growth is important because it enables those kinds of activities.
Yeah.
But when I heard the word growth from you, I thought, I actually thought personal growth versus financial growth, you know, and you will have a lot of personal growth from doing something like this.
Well, I'm sure you guys have learned so much about who you are
and each other and
each other are doing this.
Like there are some couples out there that don't work with each other and they're fine with that. They have decided that they can't.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't recommend it for every couple. You know, Jeff and I actually work very well together. And I know some couples where they love it when their husband goes to work.
Yes.
And they actually like it when their husband goes out of town. And so it just is, I think it would depend upon what kind of couple you are, whether you have complementary skills.
We have complementary skills. We have very, very different ways of viewing things. Our worldview is different. Our views of our understanding of things is different. Our approach for how we interact with people and how we interact with each other is different. Yeah. We struggle a lot to communicate often because I will say things and she's like, what in the world are you talking about?
Yeah, like,
and to me, it's perfectly obvious what I'm talking about. Like I have this context and I think that she's got it too and she doesn't.
Yep.
And vice versa, right? The same kind of things will happen. And that can be frustrating. It can be a source of contention, but it doesn't need to be. You can also recognize that that can be a source of great strength because you can say, when we come at a problem and we say, I see this problem very different than you, and I see the solution to this problem be very different than you, I don't have to attack you because we're different. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be mad at me because I don't agree with you. But instead, we can look at the problem from multiple sides. And by the time we finally settle on a solution, we've usually hashed it out in ways that most couples might not be able to have the opportunity to do so because our views are so different.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, like there are benefits to having different views and you can live in harmony with one another. And just in regular basic life with anyone, you don't need to ostracize someone because they think differently than you.
And that requires a special set of maturity.
Yeah.
It requires a special set of kind of patience and tolerance and understanding.
But by the time we work things out, we have really thought it out because our views are so different. So I think as you're building a team, whether you know you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to bring people into a team that's going to help your business be successful, it is looking for those diverse pieces so that you are getting the point of view of a lot of different ways of looking at things, because then when you actually solve a problem, you've solved the problem much more completely than if you have surrounded yourself with people that think exactly like you.
Yes.
And so I think, honestly, that's a beautiful piece of creating a good business. It's just making sure that you have diverse points of view, but also that you get scrappy, hardworking people, you know, that really can get the job done.
And to add to that, when you consider who's going to be on your team, whether they're your partners or whether they're people that you're working with, the one thing that you kind of have to be very careful about is your sort of cultural view of things. And it's like Jenny said, you want to find diverse points of view, but you also want to make sure that people are going to have a similar approach to culture and that the ultimate view, the ultimate design is going to be similar.
Like the core values.
Yes,
that's
right.
If some people value honesty and some people don't, and that might be a core value in your business or not, but you have to have.
That's the essence of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, the core value of our approach for the climbing gym is we love climbing and we love people.
And we want it to be an inclusive place for everybody, whether there be a beginner or an advanced climber, they should all feel welcome in the space. And so, I mean, when you're hiring a group of people and you have this vision, and sometimes it can sound like you have the same vision, and then ultimately when you begin working together, you find that that vision is just off, you know? And so sometimes when you hire a team, when you bring that team on, you're not always going to be successful in who you choose, you know? And so I think one of the lessons that we've learned is that when you see that that is not going to be a successful partnership or a successful
relationship
within your space, your business, or whatever it is you're doing, you don't belabor it.
Yeah,
you can't just
hoping that everything,
hoping that
they'll come
work.
Around and that the vision will eventually align, that the core values will eventually be the same because you know, it's so obvious that these are the core values that everybody should have, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that. And
no. And so, if they don't see, if they don't have your vision, then you just say, nope, it's done. We got to part ways because it's not good for them and it's not good for you because you're not a cohesive team at that point. And so it's just, I think once you realize that someone does not fit your culture, your vision, that you have to just say, it's time for us to part ways, yeah. and you don't belabor that. And so I think that was one of the biggest lessons that we had to learn. We, Jeff yeah. and I, in essence, are pretty nice people. You know, I don't know if nice is the right word.
I think you guys are nice.
Nice and naive are both really high on the list of traits.
You like to look at the good in people.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily that those people are not good, but their vision is just not the same as yours. And so it's just kind of... It stagnates
the business. You try to make it work with what you have.
It really just stagnates things. And so then once you finally do push that. Then you have room for growth. Yeah. And we just found like the business was like this until we, you know, got a more cohesive team. And then we're now on an upward trend.
So let's end with this. How first year, right?
Sold 1.1.
First year, 1.1 in revenue.
And that was what year? 2020?
That was 2021.
2021.
So now we're...
22
was 1.3.
1.3.
And 23 was 1.3. So we didn't... Okay. We didn't...
Super consistent.
Yeah. We didn't grow in revenue as much as we would have liked in 23.
That's when the financial downturn started to happen. So, we feel good because we've talked to a lot of other climbing gyms and a lot of them went down 10% in revenue. Over this last economic downturn, and we were actually able to hold steady
and we made a little bit more
and we were able to control our costs. And so now, you know, once you begin, you are playing with a market that is going to go like this. And so it's different than building a business, but now you go, okay, great. People don't have as much money right now for things like a climbing gym because a gallon of milk costs $5, you know, and so it just is, it's just being able to look at that forecast and say, how are we going to, you know, work with the fact that there's going to be an economic downturn or we are in an economic downturn and how do we hold steady? And so we feel pretty good about the fact that we held steady through the economic downturn. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to meet with us. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about at all? Anything else you guys want to...
I think we covered all the things.
Covered everything.
You guys covered a lot.
Yeah, we talked a lot in St. George, looking for a place to hang out, to get in contact with others.
Mm-hmm. Go to contact
and climb and they'll teach you everything. So thank you guys so much for being on here. We really appreciate your time and everything you taught me. I learned a lot from you guys, and I'm sure Sailor did too. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.